Turning in the scriptures to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians and the fourth chapter, reading the concluding verses of this chapter, paying particular attention to verse 16, giving the title to the message tonight, the sounding of the last trumpet. There is a final trumpet. One day it's going to sound. The scripture speaks about it on a number of occasions, and we will make reference to other times where this trumpet is sounded forth. But let's read this passage of scripture, which has been the means of great comfort to the believing church ever since it was penned. As Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he concluded this little part by saying, "Comfort one another with these words." So what we're going to read tonight is of particular comfort to God's people, especially in times of sorrow and sadness when we've lost loved ones who have left this scene of time in Christ. There's coming a great reunion day. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We said that we want to pay particular attention to the 16th verse, reminding us of that day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The sounding of the last trumpet. When I think of the trumpet, I think of two things as I read the Word of God. I think of the responsibility of the preacher, and I think of the return of the Savior. Ministers of the gospel have a God-given duty to proclaim the message of God like the sounding of a trumpet. Isaiah 58 and verse 1, we are instructed to cry aloud, "Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their sin, and the house of Jacob their sins." Joel chapter 2, verse 1. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 14 rather, in verse 8, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" So preachers are trumpeters. I must not keep back the message of God. I must not refrain from declaring the whole counsel of the Lord. I must not shun to proclaim the gospel. In fact, we would say, with the Apostle Paul, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." It's the very text, if you could see it, in this pulpit, put there when this church was opened, to remind every preacher, whoever stands behind this pulpit desk, of the solemn duty and responsibility given to him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. "I am to cry aloud and spare not, to lift up my voice like a trumpet and sound forth the message of God." I must have courage. not fearing the faces and the frowns of man, to warn all men, great and small. God says, hear the word of my mouth and warn them. Warn them from me. The soul of man is too precious to play about with these issues that are eternal. Eternity is too long for me to fail in my duty. Hell is too real to be lax about the task that is set before us. May God help me as the minister of this church to be a good trumpeter, to sound all the notes that God wants me to sound and to make them clear and distinct so that men understand their need. The trumpet reminds me not only of a pressing obligation, and that's the one I've spoken to you about. The preacher is to be like a trumpeter sounding out the gospel. But it also reminds me of a powerful occasion, the day when Jesus Christ shall return to this world. Jesus is coming again. The Bible clearly identifies the second coming of Jesus Christ with the mighty sounding of the trumpet. And we sing, as we sang tonight, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. We know that when Jesus Christ comes again, we will hear the blast of heaven's trumpet echoing throughout the whole earth. This reminds me that there's nothing at all secret about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's one of the noisiest events imaginable. We know from the teaching of the Savior that there will be supernatural, extraordinary commotions in the sky. The sun will be darkened, said Christ. The moon shall be without light. The stars will fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Great commotions in the heavens. The Apostle Paul teaches us that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And there'll also be the voice of the archangel. Numerous angels, we know, will attend and accompany the Savior at his return. The archangel's voice in particular will be discerned. And at that very same time that Jesus descends, we will hear the trump of God, all pointing to a very noisy and public event. One day the trumpet of the Lord shall sound in all its solemnity and majesty, disturbing the world with penetrating intensity. What a day that will be. And as we have prayed already tonight, in the words of the Apostle John at the close of the book of Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus. We pray earnestly for the coming of Christ. Every ear will hear the blast of heaven's trumpet with deafening pitch, and every eye shall see him when he comes to this earth again. What is the purpose of this trumpet blast? When we hear the echo of God's trumpet, at least four things are going to happen. It'll be helpful to study the usage of the trumpet in the Bible and draw some of the parallels to the day when the last trumpet of all time and eternity will be sounded. So I want you to think about the sounding of the last trumpet and what's going to happen at that moment when the trumpet blasts. First of all, the trumpet will be sounded to announce the coming king. When in Old Testament times a king came to ascend the throne and take possession of his kingdom, it was customary for the trumpeters to sound their notes of celebration and acknowledgement. Before the death of King David, as an old frail man at the end of life's journey, he handed the kingdom over to his rightful successor, Solomon. There was a rivalry to the throne. David heard about it through Bathsheba, and now he must, in clear, unmistakable terms, appoint his successor and declare Solomon to be the king. And so he commanded his faithful and trusted servants, Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, to take Solomon to Gihon. And this is what he said in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 34. Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. In verse 39, we read, and Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. This was the custom, this was the practice. The trumpet signified that the king had come to the throne and he had taken possession of the kingdom. The King of Kings is coming. And his entrance into the world will be announced by the mighty trumpet. You remember the sermon that our Savior preached, the very famous sermon in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, 25, all to do with his second coming. That's the subject. In verse 31, he says, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. King Jesus is coming, and he's coming to take possession of his kingdom. In fact, he's coming to take possession of all the kingdoms of the world. For what we read here corresponds to what we read in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15 with reference to the coming of the Savior. We are told that the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Book of Revelation tells us about seven angels who were given seven trumpets. It's recorded from chapter 8 through to this chapter 11. The seventh angel places his trumpet to his lips and he blows. What a moment that's going to be. The last trumpet. And the sounding of this seventh angel with the seventh trumpet corresponds to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The great host of heaven will cry, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. What a day to look forward to when Jesus shall be king. The earth at this moment is filled with sin. It's filled with corruption. The lands of this earth are governed by lawless, ungodly, wicked men by and large. Men of depravity, men of dishonesty, men of immorality. But what changes will take place when the Supreme King, the King of all, our blessed Savior Jesus Christ comes again? At the sound of the last trumpet, he will come. And he will come to rule. And he will take possession of his kingdom. So the trumpet is sounded, first of all, to announce the coming king. But secondly, it is sounded to awaken the sleeping dead. There's no doubt that the trumpet was used as an instrument to awaken, to stir the people. Ezekiel was made a watchman over the house of Israel. And he was given a task. And that was to awaken the nation. Blow the trumpet and warn the people. And the picture set before us is that of a watchman standing in the tower. When the enemy is coming, he was to sound the alarm. He was to blow the trumpet. And through the blowing of the trumpet, the people would be alerted that the enemy was coming and they were to prepare for war. Ezekiel, you're to be that trumpet in the hand of God. You're to take the spiritual trumpet. You are to awaken the people of Israel. You are to tell them about their sin. You are to warn them from me. And you must be faithful in the discharge of your duty. When the trumpet is blown at the second coming of Jesus Christ, it will be the means of awakening all who sleep in Jesus. Read tonight in 1 Thessalonians 4 in our text, verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We think of the corresponding portion of Scripture in 1 Corinthians in the chapter 15, where we read in verses 51 and 52, Paul saying, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. When the trumpet is blown at the second coming of our dear Savior, it will awaken those who are asleep in Christ." One of the most beautiful pictures given to us in the Bible of those who have departed this life as the saved of God, the Lord's redeemed people, is the picture of sleep. We fall asleep in Jesus. It's recorded in 1 Thessalonians 4. It's also recorded here in 1 Corinthians 15. This picture is set before us of sleeping. That is borrowed in other places of the Scriptures, like when we read of Lazarus' death in John chapter 11 and his resurrection that followed. But when the Savior was describing the fact that Lazarus had died, he had left this world, he had gone into the next, he told the disciples that Lazarus was asleep and were going to awaken him. Now, they thought he was just sleeping and taking a rest, but the Savior had to tell them in clear terms, "No, when I talk about sleeping, when I talk about Lazarus being asleep, I'm speaking about his death. Lazarus is dead." But it's the picture, sleeping. We find it also when Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was stoned to death. What a horrible death. And yet at that moment, he's calling upon the Lord. He's praying to his dying breath. And the Bible tells us that when Stephen died, when he expired in this life, it says he fell asleep in Christ. The same language is used later on in the Acts of the Apostles when Paul was preaching in the synagogue at Antioch, and he was giving a little bit of the history of the Old Testament, and he was speaking about David, one of the great forefathers of Israel, the great king. And he describes David's departure as that of sleeping with his fathers. It's a beautiful picture. You take encouragement in it. You know, when you've had a difficult day, maybe you've been working hard, and the body is tired, and you go to bed that night, it's a wonderful thing just to fall asleep. After the little day that God has given to us in this earth, there comes that moment when we fall asleep. And what a blessed moment it will be when we fall asleep in Christ. The body sleeps, as it were, and so sleeps in the grave where it's laid. Now, of course, the soul has departed. That's what death is. Death is the separation of the body and the soul. And at that moment of death, the soul leaves its earthly tabernacle, and I'm speaking now for the Christian, and takes its flight right into the presence of Christ to be with the Lord in glory, to be with the church victorious in heaven. But the body sleeps in the grave. Corruption and decay may set in. And in most cases, the bodies of the saints will be decomposed. They will return to dust. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. But it's only a state of sleep. He that took the dust at the beginning and formed Adam can, by the same omnipotent power, take the dust of decayed bodies and reform his redeemed children into their glorious and immortal bodies. One day God will breathe upon those dust particles, those decayed bodies, those rotten dry bones, and they will live. Praise the Lord. And one of the great illustrations of that is the valley of dry bones that we read about in Ezekiel 37. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the chapter and with Ezekiel being carried away and set down in the midst of the valley that is full of dry bones and what is said. And of course, it is a picture that represents so many things. It certainly, in the first case, speaks of the restoration of Israel, because we're not left to conjecture, we're not left to put an interpretation upon this passage of Scripture. The Lord tells Ezekiel clearly that this is the house of Israel. And so it speaks of Israel's restoration. But it's also a picture of the regeneration of sinners, sinners that are dead in trespasses and in sins. They are just like the bones that are dry, and there's no life. And we wonder, could they ever live? They seem to be so dead. They seem to be so departed from spiritual things. There's no life whatsoever in them. And we say to ourselves, can they live? Well, the Lord knows if they can live, if they can be saved. And when the Lord steps in the power of the Holy Ghost and brings about the experience of the new birth, we can say certainly what we read about in Ezekiel is a picture of regeneration, the giving of life to that which is so dead. When we think of sinners being given life, the life of Christ. It's also a picture of the revival of the church. And we often mourn over the fact that the church is in a state of deadness. We look out there across the Christian church. We stand desperately in need of God's reviving work. I trust as a Christian you're praying for revival, that you pray for it every day, that you seek the Lord earnestly, that God, the Holy Spirit, will come and breathe upon His church and make it live and stand up in our day like a mighty army to go out there and to win souls for Christ. But it's also a picture of the resurrection of the body at the great day. What we're talking about this evening, there's coming that moment. We thank God for it. Saints will arise from their slumber at the sounding of the last trumpet. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The trumpet shall sound, and it will sound to announce the coming King. It will sound to awaken the sleeping dead. It will sound to assemble the believing saints. Trumpets were used to gather the people onto one place. Sometimes it was to gather them for war. At other times it was to gather them for worship. The trumpet blast summoned the army. We have an example of that in Judges chapter 6 and verse 34 in the days of Gideon. And here we read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered after him. So here is gathering the people for war. And then, of course, the trumpet also sounded to assemble the congregation. That was one of the other great purposes. Read about this in the book of Numbers in the chapter 10, in the opening verses. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now when Jesus comes again, we will be gathered unto Him. Gathered unto Him in one place to meet Him. As we read tonight, to meet Him in the air. The saints of God through the centuries of time have been scattered throughout the world in every land and nation. You think of the multitudes from Adam's day right across the globe. Millions of the Lord's redeemed people. That great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. That company that was beheld by John in Revelation 7. They need to be gathered. And they will be gathered from all the continents of the world, from Africa. I'm told there's 54 countries in that continent of Africa. Asia, again, one of the largest, 50 countries. America, or the Americas. We think of North America, 23 countries, and South America, something like 12 countries. Australia, that continent comprised of 14 countries. And Europe has over 50 countries. And no matter what happens over the next few years, we're still part of Europe, we're still part of that continent. And then, of course, we think of the Antarctica. It's the coldest country or continent, covered entirely by ice. And there's no permanent inhabitants. There are scientists that are out there, and there's people out there doing work for science. But there's coming a time when this trumpet is sounded, and the Lord will gather from all the continents of the earth and those various countries within those continents his people. From the beginning of days, from every era of history, from Adam's time right until the conclusion when the Savior comes again, and they will be assembled together. When does it happen? At the last trump. Remember the verse that I quoted to you from Matthew 24 and verse 31. He shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. When the seventh angel sounds his trumpet, other angels will immediately fly to the four quarters of the earth to bring together that innumerable company. Those mighty angels in whose presence there was rejoicing when each sinner repented shall gladly gather the people of Christ that day into one place to meet the Lord in the air. That day, no doubt, will be an awful day, but believers are perfectly safe and can look forward to it without fear. Saints of every age and every language shall be assembled out of every land. All shall be there, from the least to the greatest, from the oldest patriarch down to the little infant who just breathed and died, wasn't long in this world. And what a happy gathering that will be when all the family of God are gathered at last together. Brought together, never to part again. Sad are the partings in this life. But there's coming that day when we'll never part again. If it has been pleasant to meet as believers on earth, and it ought to be, you're the people of God tonight. You're the body of Christ and the church of Christ. It's a pleasant thing to meet together. And if that is so, how much more pleasant will it be to meet in the great multitude when the Lord comes back again at the sounding of the last trumpet. One final thought. The trumpet will sound to alarm the unbelieving sinners. The sounding of trumpets instilled fear and dread, consternation and alarm into the hearts of those that listen. We have an example of that in Amos chapter 3 and verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? The question is asked there by the prophet. Such fear is directly associated with the coming of Christ, because in Joel's prophecy, and we read this verse earlier, chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Great solemnity. And the sounding of the trumpet will bring great fear. Here the trumpet pronounces wrath and judgment. Well, did Newton pen the words that we sang tonight? Day of judgment, day of wonders. Hark the trumpet's awful sound. What dread. What consternation. What fear will be in the hearts of sinners when the last great trumpet is heard? Because it brings doom forever. Everlasting destruction from the presence of God. Jesus is coming. The trumpet is going to be sounded. The last trump. What about poor sinners? Some in this meeting tonight. What will the end be of them that obey not the gospel? An awful end. An eternal end. Brought down to the very sides of hell itself to be there for all of God's eternity. What should I do? Well, I think you ought to obey the Lord in this. Because speaking on the second coming, Jesus said, "Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." The Lord says, gives you this wise counsel, "Be ye ready." And how can I get ready? The only state of readiness is to have Christ as your Redeemer and your Savior. In that sermon, so famous, preached by Christ, the Lord went on to illustrate what happens at his coming again, how that it would be a great day of separation. The saved from the unsaved, separated forever. And to illustrate that, he told the three parables that are recorded for us in Matthew 25. You remember the first one? The parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. They all looked the same. They all had professions of faith. There was no difference as far as the outward appearance was concerned, as it often is in church life today. But the important reality was 5 had made preparation. And 5 truly knew the Lord. And 5 of them were foolish. And they did not make preparation, and they had no oil in their vessel. And the oil, of course, among other things, is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that brings about the new birth that we've spoken about, regenerates the soul, comes to live in the heart and the life of the believing child of God. The whole emphasis there in that parable is readiness. You need to be ready. Jesus says, "Be ye also ready." Are you ready tonight? Have you made the preparation? Are you in Christ? Are you justified? Are you saved by God's grace? Only you can answer that in your heart tonight. I can't answer it for you. God knows your state. He looks in your heart. He sees you as you really are. But my friends, the day is coming when the trumpet shall sound, the last trumpet. What an awful day if you're not ready. Let us pray. Only Christ can get you ready. We're here to help you. If we can help you get ready, we're here to instruct. We're here to teach. We're here to counsel from God's word how you can be ready. But the readiness and that state of it comes from Christ alone. You need to be clothed upon with his righteousness. If we can help you, we're here. Please don't go away without the Lord. Maybe a matter that you've been thinking about for some time. The Lord's been graciously dealing with you. And tonight, as you sit in this meeting, you are somewhat troubled in your heart. Not the first time. The Lord's been speaking. Another opportunity is given. Come to Christ. Get ready. O God, our Father, we thank thee for the day when thy dear Son, our beloved Savior, in fulfillment to prophecy and also to the great promises, some of which he himself gave, will come again to this earth. We thank thee that there is a day when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. For the believer tonight, we can look forward to it with confidence
because we know that we are in Christ and we are saved by sovereign grace. But Lord, we know it's an awful day for the unbeliever. Some perhaps in this meeting, as the Lord searches out the heart. Lord, speak, we pray. Only God can open the heart to receive revealed truth. Only God can bring about the great work of salvation, regeneration. We are but an instrument pointing the way. And Lord, we just hand over to thee now the issues of this service, particularly for those that are not ready. Lord, speak to them. Bring them to Christ. May this be the night when the preparation is made. Spirit of God, come with mighty power and work for your glory in the hearts of men. Bring them to Christ, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.